All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. Today's message is The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, Part 3. It is October 9, 2022, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. So we're going to open with prayer, and Stephen is going to do that now.
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ who were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility on bended knee with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So today we look at the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament from David to the exile and to the end of the Old Testament. Samuel, as we mentioned last week, was a transitional figure moving Israel from the time of the judges to the time of the kings. Samuel anointed David to be king, 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. The same spirit that came upon David and guided him also abandoned Saul. We know from 2 Samuel 23, 2, that the spirit of the Lord spoke by David and God's word was in his tongue. David received divine communication as a prophet, Mark 12, 36 and Acts 2, verse 30, as to the birth and sufferings, the death, the resurrection, and glory of the Christ. So we're going to read some now, some references to the Holy Spirit in the Psalms. Start up there.
Psalm 139:7. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? Psalm 51:11. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Psalm 143:10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. We see Jesus in the Psalms, and we see the power and presence of the Holy Spirit inspiring them for all time. The same Spirit of God can be found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 4:13-14 says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, quote, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Solomon expressly referenced the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 1:23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. The prophets received by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we have shown. Hosea 9:7 tells us that Hosea was the man of the Spirit. So were all the prophets of the one true God. Joel predicts the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit reserved for the last days in Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions.
Notice that the Spirit is my Spirit, referring to the Lord, from whom the Holy Spirit proceeds and by whom he is sent, along with the Father sends the Holy Spirit also. The prophecy was fulfilled in Acts 2. Joel divides the gifts of the Holy Spirit into three categories: prophecy, dreams, and visions. The allusion is to different forms of revelation. The Holy Spirit is provided converting and sanctifying gifts like faith, hope, love, effectual calling, and ministerial gifts to awaken and edify others. We see this picked up in Acts 2, verse 38, which refers to the sanctifying gifts of the Holy Spirit and his dwelling in believers. With this outpouring, we have bursting forth of the river of the water of life, Ezekiel 47, verse 1, which I call the springing forth of the waters of En-Gedi, spiritually, not a man-made well. Okay, so this.
Acts 2:38. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 47:1-12. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing.
Oh. And there's more.
Micah squared off against false prophets. Let's read Micah 2:6-8. Do not preach. Thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Should this be said, O house of Jacob? Has the Lord grown impatient? Are these his deeds? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? With power and without fear, Micah declared to the nation its sin. The prophet was also full of judgment by the Spirit. The book of Micah deals with social justice. Isaiah will speak of the spirit of burning and the spirit of judgment. Isaiah 4:4. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Isaiah 63:7-14. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy, and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. And we have a suggestion to read all of Isaiah 63 and think of Revelation as you do. Isaiah 34:16. Seek and read from the book of the Lord. Not one of these shall be missing, none shall be without her mate, for the mouth of the Lord has commanded, and his Spirit has gathered them. Isaiah 30:1. Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord, who carry out a plan but not mine, and who make an alliance but not of my Spirit, that they may add sin to sin. And this is a commentary from BibleHub.com. And the quote is, this is from composed from Isaiah 1:23 and Isaiah 65:2. Quote, woe to the rebellious children. The whole thing is a quote from the Bible Hub. Woe to the rebellious children. The word translated rebellious is used in Deuteronomy 21:18-20 of the persistently disobedient son who was to be brought before the elders and stoned to death. That take counsel, rather, that form plans, such as the plan now formed, to call in the aid of Egypt. That's the end of the quote. Isaiah alludes to the Holy Spirit's work relative to the Messiah as the servant of the Lord. Isaiah 48:16. Draw near to me, hear this. From the beginning I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. And then this is the suggestion, suggest to read the whole chapter on your own. The Holy Spirit is sent with the Son and co-joined with the Son from incarnation. Of the Messiah, Isaiah will say in Isaiah 11, and these are the three verses, one is Isaiah 11:1-3, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And then Isaiah 42:1, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. And then it says a servant song in parentheses. Isaiah 61:1-3. The spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
So the Spirit himself was to rest upon Christ the Messiah. The Messiah is foretold to be equipped for all his offices, gifted and anointed. And if we remember, we've talked before, maybe not on Sundays, but we've talked about the favor of the Lord, and that the favor of the Lord comes on someone when there's a mission and a message. And so Jesus was anointed, and the favor of the Lord, he walked, of course, in the favor of the Lord because he came. Because the Lord had anointed him to have this commission to bring good news, you know, what we just read in Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, etc. Okay, so the Spirit rests upon him, is put upon him, and is upon him as the anointing oil. Thus the human nature of Christ was anointed with a full supply of the Holy Spirit for discharging all his duties as a servant of the Lord, as a Messiah, and as mediator of the new covenant. Likewise, the Spirit was to be plenteously supplied to the called out ones in messianic days. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your sons, on your descendants. Okay. So the Holy Spirit resists the enemy and likewise abides in the redeemed, as, for example, Isaiah 59, verses 19 to 21. The call goes out in Isaiah 55 to come to the waters, to living waters. God is expanding the covenant with David to include others, even the sure mercies of David. This is very important, the sure mercies of David. And because before with David in the Davidic covenant, that was just to David, you know, and like relative to a dynasty. But in Isaiah 55, that expands. That expands. And I've written about it in an article. It's in News and Views on MaryCraig.org, The Sure Mercies of David. And also News and Views, MaryCraig.org, For This Cause. Okay, so rather than, I'm not going to repeat all that here, but that applies here. So, from exile to the Old Testament end. Interestingly, in the books of Jeremiah and Daniel, the expression Spirit of God does not occur. We don't find the phrase, but we clearly know both Jeremiah and Daniel to be prophets of God. Jeremiah was sanctified from the womb and received definite revelation, particularly of the new covenant, Jeremiah 31, verse 31. In Daniel's life, we clearly see the Holy Spirit's agency in the interpretation of dreams, in Daniel's visions, and in all of the allusions to the anointing of the Christ, the Most Holy, Daniel 9:24. For Ezekiel, it's different. Ezekiel 2, verse 2, "And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me." Ezekiel 8, verse 3, and also Ezekiel 11, verse 24, also relate here, for example. The promises announced by Ezekiel speak of the grace of the Holy Spirit in connection with the restoration of Israel to divine favor, as in Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. Inward renewal is ascribed to the irresistible grace of the Spirit of God. Irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. It is the Holy Spirit who takes away the insensibility of the stony heart and makes the tender heart of flesh. First, the heart is regenerated. Then the call is effectual as the person responds to the gospel of Jesus Christ in faith and repentance unto life. Two other places that speak of this inward renewal are when Ezekiel was commanded to prophesy by the Spirit relative to the dry bones. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 and following. And when he spoke of the waters swelling into a river from under the threshold of the house of God, Ezekiel 47, 1 and following. In Revelation 22, verse 1, we see this called the river of the water of life. Haggai 2, verse 5 speaks of the comfort of knowing that the Spirit would remain among the people of God. The Holy Spirit is a help in their infirmities as well as the source of grace, of light, of comfort, and of holiness. The prophet Zechariah was commissioned to show that the maintenance of the elect was dependent on God's Spirit, Zechariah 4:6. And not on the resources of worldly kingdoms, not by power and not by might. To fortify this assurance, God supplies the vision of the lampstand and of the two olive trees in Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah 12:10 tells us of the Spirit of grace and supplication, one of the names of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will supply the house of David in the latter days and effect conversions amid deep sorrow and mourning. Wrapping up the Old Testament history, we find that the children of Israel vexed the Holy Spirit during their day of merciful visitation, Nehemiah 9, verse 30. The Holy Spirit moved the prophets and spoke by them as vehicles to reveal his mind and will, meaning the mind of the Holy Spirit, the mind of God. Chronicles records two historical occasions when the Holy Spirit came on the prophets, namely Jehaziel and Zechariah, to declare the mind of God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14, 2 Chronicles 24, verse 20. So we see that the Holy Spirit imparted the gift of prophecy to a few and comfort to many. This one who spoke by holy men from the beginning was consistently recognized as a divine person. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is revealed as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Father, breath of the Almighty, free and most benevolent Spirit. as God, Creator, Good Spirit, Holy Spirit, Power of the Highest, Spirit of Burning, Spirit of Judgment, Spirit of Counsel, Knowledge, Might, Understanding, and Wisdom, Spirit of Grace and Supplications, Spirit of the Fear of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of the Lord God, and the Spirit, with a capital S. But God was not finished revealing himself. In the New Testament, we will find out more about the one whose name is the Holy Spirit, the Promised One. He is the gift we cherish as he reveals to us Jesus Christ and eternal life in him. Jesus Christ is the child of the Holy Ghost, Luke 1, verse 35, Matthew 1, verses 18 and 20. God the Son, Son of God. The Holy Spirit applies what Jesus Christ accomplished in the atonement, freeing the true believer from guilt and liability, effecting reconciliation with the Father, effecting the satisfaction of divine justice and propitiation of the wrath of God, and effecting the defeat of all darkness. The Holy Spirit is the life maker, the one who renews, sanctifies, and so much more. He glorifies Jesus as he works out our redemption and makes it so. He makes it so. Let light be, and there was light. Amen. And so, Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. May we always cherish the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we always remember this relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit is fragile. We need to handle this relationship with prayer, with care, Lord, and we are warned in so many places not to vex the Holy Spirit, insult the Spirit of grace, resist him, all these things. There's a whole list. And Lord, that we don't try to be the Holy Spirit as we plan out the days of our lives, thinking that God comes along and stamps his approval on our plans. He's a mind and of his own. And we need to get in line. And so, Lord, help us to stop trying to take God's place as sovereign and hear the cry of God's heart for our good and for his glory. Lord God, let us stop resisting, rejecting, spurning, mocking, and rebelling against the Holy Spirit. Lord God, grant us the grace to repent and believe. Repent and believe in Jesus. Believe Jesus. Believe what Jesus believes. Repent and believe the Holy Spirit and your word, O God. And may we trust in the Lord with all our heart and yield to him. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. May we yield to him with a heart to obey him, his word, and Lord, may we let him love us. Oh God, may we let him love us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now if you would please stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.